So this week is Parshas Yisro. Yisro was the father-in-law of Moshe, and in the beginning of the Sedra we hear Vayishma Yisro, and Yisro, the Kohen, the priest of Midian, he's also father-in-law of Moshe. He hears everything that God has done for Moshe and Israel, that he's brought them out of Egypt. So he comes from Midian with Moshe's wife Zipporah and their two sons, Gershon and Eliezer. So they come to Moshe in the wilderness, and Yisro says, "You know, if I'm coming, please accept me." Instead of just being accepted, he has this huge honor that Moshe and Aaron go out, and if Moshe and Aaron went, then Aaron's children, Elozo Soma, Nadav and Avihu, if they went, then the heads of the tribes went. If the heads of the tribes are Moshe and Aaron, Miriam, everybody's going. So the whole Klal Yisrael, the whole Jewish people went out to greet Yisro. Yisro comes, and Moshe tells him everything that God had done to Paroi for the sake of the Yidden, and all the events that had occurred to them on the road, meaning the man, the water, the Kriyas Yamsuv, the Mechemes Amalek. Vayichad Yisro, and Yisro has this incredible joy for all the toive, for all the good that's happened, and he says, Baruch Hashem, thank God who saved you from Mitzrayim, from Paroi. Now I know that God is the greatest of all the gods." And the Gemara says, because he had tried all religions. And he says, "Now I know that Judaism is it." So then we find Vayimi Mocharos, it was the next day. It's not clear what day we're talking about, but Moshe is sitting to judge the people, and Yisro tells him, "Novoil Tibol, you know you're going to get worn out if you sit alone. You need to have some kind of a hierarchy of judges, high judges, magistrates, and so forth. And then, you know, whatever one judge can't figure out an answer, then he'll take it to the next one up the line. Eventually, they'll bring it to you like this. The whole people, everybody will have, every minion will have a little rov to whom they can ask their questions." And so Moshe does this, Va'atotechaze. Yisro says, "You got to look at the people and choose who are going to be judges." So Moshe does that. Then we're told, B'chodesh Hashlishi, in the third month, Mitzeis B'nei Yisro Meretz Mitzrayim, after the Yidden came out. The Yidden came out in Nisan. So half of Nisan had passed, and the whole month of Iyar had passed, and now we're at the beginning of the month of Sivan. Bayoim Hazeh, this day, Bo'u Midbar Sinai. The Eden come to the wilderness of Sinai. So, Bayoim Hazeh, really, there's a question. It should really say Bayoim Ahu, on that day. Why does it say Bayoim Hazeh? So Rashi, bringing a psikta, mechilta, he says, "Well, it's today. It's got to be like today. If you're learning Torah, the Torah has to be chadoshim. It has to be new, like you heard it today for the first time." It's a beautiful medrash, and it explains a lot. Except it doesn't really answer the question, because this was not the day of Matan Torah. This was not the day of the revelation on Sinai. That was going to be 3 days later or 6 days later. If this is Rish Chodesh, then the Torah is not going to be given for almost another week. So why doesn't it say by Matan Torah on the day of the actual revelation on Sinai? It should say by Yom HaZeh, if that's the Chiddush, that by Yom HaZeh means that it's got to be like today you got the Torah. then this is the wrong place for that truth. There's an interesting Zohar. The Zohar is in Parashas Beshalach in last week's, just before the Parasha of the Mon. The Zohar Kodesh says, Tochazi, come, I want to show you. Kadbo kodshibrich lazhor li Yisrael al oiraisa, before God could teach the Eden and warn them about the do's and the don'ts of the Torah. B'chamo milin moshech luhu, how many words he used to draw them to him. B'chamo mishichon d'chavavusa, with how many different kinds of expressions of love did God encourage the Eden to come close. He was mekariv them. Kibarnash, like a person, demoshich brei lebeirav, that's trying to get his child to go to cheder, to go to school. So how many things you have to promise your child, how many sweetnesses and candies you have to give the child so that he looks forward to going to school. V'tochazi, the Zohar continues, God didn't even want to give them the Torah until the Yidden had connected with God himself. And how did the Yidden connect? With the revelation of the Bris, as we learned. Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, L'krivu Yisru l'turu de Sinai, the Yidden didn't even get to Sinai, ad de'olu b'chulka de tzaddik, until they reached the level of the tzaddik. So by the time the Yidden came to Sinai, everybody was at the level of the tzaddik. Well, we know that tzaddik is the Sefira of Yesod, which is the Sefira of Yosef, who's called Yosef HaTzadik. So the Zohar Kodesh says, how do we know that before we got to Sinai we had reached the level of Tzadik? Tichsiv, as it is written, Bayoim Hazeh, on this day, Bo'u Midbar Sinai. So the Zohar Kodesh says that the word Zeh here, that it doesn't say Bayoim Ahu, on that day, it says Bayoim Hazeh, on this day. This day, Mamash, Daiko. So the Zohar says that it's chosen, the word Zeh here is chosen for a reason. Uchsiv, it is written, Vo'omar bayoimahu, you will say on that day, Hinei Elokeinu Zeh, this is our God, Kivinu lo, we've been waiting for him. So the word Zeh is chosen for, in order to underscore, to underline, to emphasize the level of tzaddik, which is the sphere of Yesod, which is the connection of Yosef. So the Zohar Kodesh has a different reading here from the Medrash that says B'yoyim Hazeh means that Yil Beinecho Kechadoshim always has to be like today, always has to be like new. The Zohar Kodesh is reading it differently. V'yoyim Hazeh means Yosef, means Tzadik, means Yesod. So is it really so different? Is there a way we can understand the two Midrashim, the Zohar and the Medrash that Rashi was bringing, as one? So the Torah goes on. Vayisu me'Rephidim, the Yidden, they journeyed from Rephidim, which was where Amalek had fought with them. Vayavoyu midbar Sinai, and they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Vayachnu b'midbar, and they camped there. Vayichan sham hoha Yisrael neged hoha, and the Jewish people camped there opposite the mountain. Moshe olo el ha'olekim, and Moshe goes up to God. Vayikra elav Hashem min ha'har, and God calls to him from the mountain, Lamor, to say, God says to Moshe, this is what I want you to say to the house of Jacob. Besagid, and I want you to tell it to the Bnei Yisrael. Atem re'isem, you've seen asher sisi l'mitzrayim, what I've done to the Egyptians. Vo'eso eschem al kamfei neshorim, and I carried you on the wings of eagles. Vo'ovi eschem eloi, and I brought you to me. Va'ato, and now. Im shamoya tishmu'u b'koili, if you listen to my voice, u'shmartem es berisi, and you guard my covenant. V'hiyisem li segulo, and you will be for me special, chosen. Mikol ha'amim, from all the nations. Ki li kol ha'aretz, because the whole earth belongs to me. There's a non-sequitur here at the end of the sentence, which nobody really manages to answer in a very satisfying way. God says, if you listen and you guard my covenant, you'll be special to me from all nations, because ki li kol ha'aretz, the whole earth is mine. That doesn't really compute. If God had said, well, because all nations are mine and you'll be special, that would kind of make sense. But the word ki seems to have another meaning here, in spite of, which would suggest a fifth meaning for the word ki. And in fact, I think the Ibn Ezra suggests that this is an anomaly. Then God goes on and says, Va'atem tihiyu li mamleches kohanim, you will be a kingdom, a nation, a royal family, a mamleches, a malchus of kohanim, of priests. V'goy kodosh, and you'll be a holy nation. Eile hadvorim, these are the words, asher tedaber el b'nei Yisrael, that you should say to the Yidnin. The Midrash says, Rashi brings, these are the words, no more and no less. God says, I want you to give me your everything. I want you to give me everything. I want you to give me your life and your soul. And in return, you'll be special. And you'll be a kingdom of priests and you'll be holy. No promises, really, of any reward. No promise here of any reward. And this was, we said, Nasa v'nishma, this was really where we transcended our frailties. And God, Moshe had said, you know, can I tell them of some of the good things that's going to, no, I'm going to bring you to the land and I'm going to take care of you. It's like, no, you'll give me everything and I will treat you as special and you'll be priests and holy. There's so many questions here that one could ask. If God says to Moshe, Eile hadvorim, these are the words, and that means no more, no less, then the previous pasuk where it says, God says, Koy soima lebeis Yaakov, v'sagid livnei Yisrael, this is what you should say to the Beis Yaakov, and you should tell it to the Bnei Yisrael. And Rashi, also bringing the Medrash, says, Beis Yaakov, these are the women, and to them, toima, you have to say it gently because you can't say it so. You can't speak to them the way you speak to the men. V'tagid l'bnei Yisrael, and you tell it to the Bnei Yisrael, meaning the men, and then you can be hagoda, it can be told in harsh terms. So the Rebbe Rabbunim asks, but if later God says, but no more, no less, so how was Moshe able to say the same thing to the men and to the women and it be different? So the Rebbe Rabbunim says, Moshe said the same thing. The reception is different. You know, somebody who spent a lifetime in the yeshiva and he understands the nuances of a piece of Gemara, Mishnah, a Posuk, a Rambam, you can say something simple and he starts to tremble because he knows the implications. The same thing that said to somebody who hasn't spent time in the yeshiva is like, oh, very nice, very nice. So Toimele beis Yaakov v'sagil ibnei Yisrael. It's this same identical thing, Moshe said, but it's the woman hears it and says, "Very nice." And the Rov hears it and he starts to tremble and he says, "Oy gevalt, this is too much." The Rebbe Rabbunim says also another thing. The pasuk says, "Vayishma Yisroi, Yisroi heard." So Rashi asks, "Mashmua shuma obo?" What did Yisroi hear that made that moved him? So Rashi answers, "Kriyas Yamsuf umilchemes Amalek." He heard about the splitting of the Red Sea and the war with Amalek. So the Rebbe Rabbunim says, why does Rashi emphasize these two? And why doesn't he just say he heard about the Exodus? And I mean, the pasuk itself says, "V'chihoytzia Hashem es Yisro meMitzrayim," that later, that when Yisro is talking about the greatnesses, and he says, "And he saved you from Pharaoh and the people, and he brought you out of Egypt," and Rashi says, "And that's the greatest thing of all." So why the beginning, when Rashi could have said, "What did Yisro hear? He heard about the Exodus from Egypt." So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, you know, we learn the 13 principles of faith of Maimonides, of the Rambam, the 13 animamim. I believe that God is, will be, and I believe that God created the world from nothing, and I, you know, believe that there's nothing else but God, and so on. 13 principles that end with the Tichias HaMesim. Rebbe Rabbinim says, but if you boil them down, the essence of the 13 Ikrim is Mitzias Hashem, that God exists, the Hashgocha Protis, and that there is divine providence, and everything that happens is under the supervision of God, and God didn't delegate His authority to anything or anybody. The Torah min Hashemayim, and the Torah comes from God, from heaven. These are the three. If you can examine all these 13 Ikarim, these 13 principles of faith, and you'll find that they are based on these three foundations: that God exists, only God exists, and that God is in charge of the world, everything in the world, and that Torah is from God. And in fact, the Maharsha in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, he says that the three elements of prayer on Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, that we talk about these three things, that on Rosh Hashanah God is the Melech, God is the King, and then we have all the verses dealing with the memorial, the memory, the bringing up everything that's happened in the year, and then we have the verses that deal with the blowing of the Shofar. These correspond to these three Ikarim, these three basics that the psukim, the verses that deal with Malchius, that God is the King of the world, they're basically emphasizing Mitzias Hashem, that God exists. Zichronos, the psukim that deal with the memorials and the remembering, and this is a Hashgocha Pratis, that God is in charge of the world. And Shofros, this is Matan Torah, which is the sound of the great Shofar that goes on and never stops. This is the sound of Matan Torah, the revelation of Sinai, which continues to this moment. That's the great sound of the Shofar. So here, when we came out of Egypt, there were also these three events. There was the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea, which it became apparent this is the presence, the being, the existence of God was obvious. Mechemes Amalek, when it came to the war of Amalek, we could see the Hashgocha Prodis, we could see the individual supervision which God has of the world and how it's connected with the world, and the events in the world are all connected, and Moshe raised up his hands and Yehoshua was winning the war, and Moshe lowered his hands and the war went the other direction. So that was the Mechemes Amalek, was the emphasis on Hashgocha Prodis and individual. The Rebbe Rabbinim says, but so when we came out of the Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechemes Amalek, and we had passed through the Red Sea and we had won the war with Amalek, we had these two basic fundamentals clear in front of our eyes, which was that there is a God and he's in charge of the world, but we didn't have the third one. We didn't realize Torah min hashamayim. So that's B'chodesh HaShlishi, on the third month, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael min Mitzrayim. The Rebbe Rabbeinu says, not the third month, but Bam Dritten Chiddush, but the third revelation. Bayoyim Hazeh, Bo'u Midbar Sinai. This day, we come to Midbar Sinai, which is the revelation of the Torah min HaShemayim. That is the third thing, and that's what Vayishma Yisrael, meaning Ich darf noch epis hören, I need to hear some more. It's not talking about Yisrael who's out there in Midian. It's talking about me, that if I've come out of Egypt and I've had my battle with Amalek, now Vayishma Yisrael, I need to hear something else, because the word Yisrael means more. In addition, I need to hear something else, says Rebbe Rabbeinim. What is this? Bayoyim Hazeh, Bo'u Midbar Sinai. I need to hear this, that I've come to the Torah. Still, we haven't really answered what does it mean Bayoyim Hazeh rather than Bayoyim Ahu, this day rather than that day. What is this emphasis on this day? So, the Megala Amukos, we've been learning a little bit the Megala Amukos the last few weeks. He explains in a new way the connection. First, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu brings us a message from God. God says, Ato im shmoya tishmu b'koydina, if you listen to my voice, ushmartem es berisi, and you guard my covenant, v'hiyisem li segula, you will be to me a segula. It didn't need to say the word li here. He could have just said, V'hiyisem segula mikol ho'amim, you will be special. What's the li? So the Megala Amukos, he says the word li, and he brings a medrash that wherever God says li, it's forever and ever and ever. Why? Because li is a zivuk. Li, the word li, which means to me, when God says to me, that is a zivuk, it's a connection, it's a like a marriage. And that's why when a chosen is mekadesh, when a chosen gives a ring to the kala, he says, Hare at mekudesh is li. So the Megala Amukos says, why the word li? Because the lamed, which is the tallest letter, that represents God. The yud, which is the smallest letter, that represents the Eden. And why does the lamed represent God? Because the way you write a lamed is with a chaf, and on top of the chaf you write a vav. That's the shape of a lamed, a chaf and a vav. A chaf vav is 26, which is the shem havaya, yud ke vav ke equals 26. So the lamed contains within it the chaf vav, the 26, which is the yud ke vav ke. And the yid, nu, the letter yud is the yid, the smallest. We bring them together, and this is the zivuk. So God says here, if you listen to me and you guard and you really keep what's going on, what I'm going to tell you, what I'm going to teach you, v'hiyisem li, I am going to marry you, says God. And when God says to Moshe, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, the Jewish people belong to me, they're my servants. That's where the Medrash says, Kol mokem shenem ali, kaim la'olam. Wherever it says, for me, God says, for me, that's forever and ever. So when God says to the Jewish people, Behiyisem li, you'll belong to me, there's a kiddushin, there's a betrothal. How did Moshe know to break the tablets of stone when he came down from the story of the golden calf? So God says, Va'atu hanichali, now leave me alone. So the word, you know, because Moshe was praying, And God says, leave me alone. So first of all, Moshe understood that God was saying, don't leave me alone, because if you keep on praying, I'm going to forgive them. But also God says, Hanicha li, which you can translate it as leave me alone, but also you can translate it as let go. Let go the li. Because the marriage of God and us and the Jewish people was with the Torah. As soon as we receive the Torah, it's like the Kala who's received the ring. Once she's received the ring, and he said, Harayat Mekudeshes li b'tabazu, then she's married to him. So now, if she goes astray with somebody else, that is a terrible thing. So Moshe breaks the tablets. So Gemara says, Nidonin kepnuya. So now, the Jewish people are not married to God. So then, all right, you know, we did a terrible thing, but it's not adultery. We didn't do adultery with another God. That's how Moshe understood from God saying, Hanicha li, let go the li. So it's not time for the li yet. All right, so Moshe did what he had to do. When we put on the tefillin, we say, Vo'era stich li. God says, I betroth you to me with faith. So now we can understand a little bit more. The li, how do we get close to God, right? So what is the closeness with God? So one of the ways that God says is with Shabbos, which is called an ois. It's a sign. Oisi la'olam beini uvein b'nei Yisrael. So there are certain signs that we have. One of the signs that we have is in our sexuality. We have the bris. So the Zohar Kodesh says, how did God bring us close to him? With the bris. And so before we came out of Egypt, we had to circumcise ourselves. But you see, the bris is called zeh. The bris is called zeh. This, not that. When Moshe takes the bones of Yosef, as we said in previous weeks, Moshe connects with Yosef. Yosef is the tzaddik. You know, when Yosef is looking for his brothers, and he meets this man in the field, and he asks him about his brothers, have you seen my brothers? You know, the man says, Nosu mizeh, they've gone away from zeh. He doesn't say, Nosu mikan, they've gone away from here. He says, Nosu mizeh, they've gone away from this. Because the brothers had, in their hearts, divorced themselves from Yosef. And when Moshe meets God at the burning bush, God says to him, V'zeh lecho ha'ois, and this is the sign that I'm going to do everything I say. When you get out of Egypt, Tavdu nesilikim al huhar hazeh, you are going to come back to this zeh and you are going to worship me here, all the Jewish people. When we, the Jewish people, when we decided to turn away and worship the idol, you know what we said to Aaron? We said, Ki zeh Moshe ho'ish. The zeh, Moshe is the zeh, we're not the zeh anymore. And so, in a sense, when we worshipped the idol, in a sense, we were, we were denying the bris. We were spurning the bris that we had in our own selves. We said, Moshe is the zeh, we're not the zeh anymore. But when we had the bones of Yosef with us, and we were feeling connected to Yosef, then we were able to stand at the sea and sing the song and say, Zeh Keli, this is my God. This is the secret of the word zeh. Can I say, Zeh, this is my God? Or do I say that? There's a big difference. I can only say Zeh Keli, this is my God, Ze Keli V'Amveyu, V'Oma Bayoim Hahu Hine Lekenu Ze, like the Zohar says. The Ze is Yosef because when I'm in the, and when I'm in Yosef, when I'm in Yosef kind of space inside myself, then I can point at God and say, Ze Keli, this is my God, V'Anveyu, and I will beautify it. So what happens to us that we disconnect from Yosef? And why was it that when we came to that day that we arrived at Sinai, Bayoim Hazeh Bo'u Midbar Sinai, that suddenly something, we were transformed and we were able to get past it? You know, the word Zois, we've said many times, the word Zois, the very first word that Adam HaRishon utters is the word Zois. And we say that this is the breath that God had breathed into him. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chaim, God blows into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, Yidon Adam lenefesh chayin, he becomes this speaking being, and the first word he says is Zois. Then, when Chava is born, he says, Ki me'isha l'kocha Zois, that she is the Zois, because Adam is the Zeh. The Zeh is the masculine, the Zois is the feminine. So Zeh represents the sphere of Yesod, and Zois represents the sphere of Malchus. So Yosef helps us to connect in a way that we can't hope to do without the truth, without the emes. So what does God say? He promises, V'hiyisem li segula mikol ha'amim, you will be special to me from all the people. V'atem tiyului mamleches koyanim, and you will be a kingdom of koyanim. V'goy kodosh, and a holy nation. There are three things that God promises here. One is segula. Now what, segula is something you love that doesn't make any sense. Segula, you know, sometimes a cure, a magical cure, or you know, you come to a rebbe and he says, all right, so here, take this lump of sugar and take it and you'll be cured. Well, the lump of sugar is a cure. How's it a cure? No, it's not a cure, it's a segula. The word segula is used to explain things that don't really compute in any logical order. It's a segula. Oh, it's a segula. Okay. It works, I mean. Love, when you love something, if you, let's say you collect something, you collect antiques, and you have five different Royal Doulton plates, and I ask you which one is your favorite, and you say, this one is my favorite. Why? I don't know why. I don't have to have a why. This is my favorite. I have a favorite. So God says to the Jewish people, I will love you like that. That if some angel or some prosecutor even, or brother Satan will come along and say, God, you have to give me a reason why you love these people, because otherwise it's not fair. Where's the justice? God will say, but look, the Jewish people love me that way, without any logic, without any reason. You ask the Jewish people, so why? I don't have to have a why. You love God with all your body, with all your mind, with all your soul. It doesn't say why. So we love God. We have such longing and such feelings of wanting to give. And, you know, If God were to tap a Jew on the shoulder and say to him, "I give me your life," we wouldn't be able to jump fast enough. And it doesn't matter which Jew. You could never, ever gauge who and what is a Jew. Down there inside each of us is this amazing availability to God, which makes no sense. So God says, "I will love you in such a way." It makes no sense. No angel or prosecutor will be able to say, "But, but." There's no but. It's working both ways. That's the first level of V'hiyisem li segula. The next level is, God says, "V'atem tihiyu li mamleches kohanim." You are going to be a kingdom, and kingdom of priests. What is a kingdom of priests? It doesn't say a nation. This is a kingdom. What's a kingdom? Is malchus. Mamleches. He uses the word mamleches, which is malchus. What is the point of a malchus? A melech means that you can order things and you can decide how things go. And God says, you know, this is what I'm going to do for you. Whatever you say you're going to do for me as an act of worship, that's going to be the act of worship. You are going to be the melech on the kahuna, not me. Every Jew has inside himself something, some way that he approaches God that is his. Nobody in the whole universe, in this world or in the other world, can disqualify it and say, "Zinisht." And even if, to me, it doesn't appeal to me, what somebody else does in their service of God doesn't make any difference. God says, "Mamleches kohenim." Every kohen is a melech. Every Jew is a high priest and also a king. So before he's even a high priest, he's a king, and he can decide, this is how I worship God. And God says, "I will honor that, as though I myself had written it into the Torah that this is the way that I want to be worshipped." It's an amazing thing. It works both ways. Every person has inside them something special they want to give to God. God says, "Inside me is something special I want from you. What do I want from you? That very thing that you want to give me. That's what I'm waiting for." V'goy kodosh. And the third level is goy kodosh. God says, "You're going to be goy kodosh," which means holy. Which means what? It means you're going to belong to me. You're going to have a kiddushin with me, God says. You're going to be married to me. Why are you going to be married to me? Because I'm going to be married to you. Because I'm taking you to me, because you're taking me to you. Could be that when God says you're going to be special to me, ki li kol ha'aretz, that the word ki li isn't because to me belongs the whole earth, therefore you're going to be a special nation, but ki li, because you belong to me. Why? Because of li, because you're married to me. Why? Because kol. Kol is the sphere of yesod, because it brings everything together. And why is that? Because oretz. Because oretz, you are the Shekhinah, says God. You are my dwelling presence in the world. So, there's a strange thing. The way the Sedra ends doesn't really make sense. After the Ten Commandments, God says, tell the Jewish people, you've seen how I could speak to you from heaven, and it's an amazing thing. Don't make with me gods of silver and gods of gold. Don't make for yourself. Mizbach Adomo Tasili, make me an altar of earth. And when you go up on the altar, don't go on steps, you have to go up on a ramp, because otherwise you reveal your nakedness. But you know, the Ten Commandments, the second of the Ten Commandments is that we're not allowed to have other gods. So why would we have this immediately after the end of the Ten Commandments? We say to Moshe, "Oh, we're afraid. You speak to us." And then Moshe says, "Okay, I'll speak to you, but don't worry. It's only because God wants to test you and to raise you and to exalt you that you know He speaks to you, and you're not going to die." And then God says to Moshe, "You know, tell the Jewish people, don't make gods of silver. Like, where does this come from?" So first you should know that the moment that we got to Mount Sinai, the Torah tells us, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hoha. The Jewish people camped there. It doesn't say Vayachanu, they camped there. It says Vayichan Shom Yisrael. And that was a moment, Rashi says, Ki ish echad belev echad. Like, we were like one people with one heart. And all the kashas, all the questions that you can ask about this sedra all get answered with that statement. Because the meaning of Yosef, the meaning of the Sephira of Yesod, Ki Koil, because everything, Da'ochet B'Shemayel V'Ara, everything is all one. How does everything become all one? Through the Sephira of Yesod. Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. When we got to Mount Sinai on that day, which is Bayoim Hazeh, on this day, it's not that day, it's on this day, in that pasuk where it talks about it, it says Vayovoyu Midbar Sinai, Bayoim Hazeh Bo'u Midbar Sinai. On this day we came to Midbar Sinai, Vayichan Sham Yisro Neged Ha, and the Jewish people camped there like one person. That's the revelation of the Torah Min HaShemayim. Happens at that moment. Everything that happens later with the actual Ten Commandments that come down follows from this moment of we are like one person with one heart. Because I think I've said this before in Parshas Yisro, that a person has so many needs. The reason that we're not all great scholars, and maybe the reason that sometimes we do things we're not supposed to do, is because we feel that we're not maybe being taken care of, or we feel like if I don't go after my own needs, you know, who's going to take care of me? So there were 600,000 of us. On that day that we arrived at Sinai, everybody thought to themselves, you know what? I'm going to go out and take care of people, because there's something you can do for every person you meet. Some person, you only need to give them a smile. Somebody needs you to tie his shoelaces. Somebody needs you to give him a dollar to buy a cup of tea. Everybody has 600,000 needs. The reason that we're so selfish is because we have so many needs and we're afraid they're not going to be taken care of. But just imagine, you could be sure from the moment you woke up that there was somebody to take care of every single need that you could possibly have. You would be freed to take care of everybody else's needs. And that moment when we came to Sinai, that was the one time in history where we felt that way about ourselves, because we felt that way about everybody else. We became completely transparent to everybody else, and everybody else was completely transparent to us. And all that we could see through it is the Torah, because that's the meaning of the Torah. So the Rebbe Rabinim, who says that this third thing that we needed, which is we had already learned that there is a God, and we had already learned that there is individual providence, but we needed to learn Torah Min HaShemayim. That Torah Min HaShemayim didn't come about with the Ten Commandments. That came about with Bayoim Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. We came on this day to Midbar Sinai. This day is the bris of Yosef. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about Yosef, that Yosef is about doing somebody a favor. And this day, we became so connected one to the other that every person that you met on that day, it was clear to you what he needed from you. And when he looked at you, he could see clearly what he needed to give you. Wherever we looked, every Jew man and woman and child, we walked around in that campment on that day, just meeting each other and seeing each other and seeing through each other to the self. If I meet you and I instantly know what I need to do for you, it's not even for you. It's like I meet you and I know what I need to do. You look at me and you know what you need to do. We become transparent to ourselves. That's the meaning of Yosef. We were saying that when Yaakov had Yosef with him, he could remember all his Torah. As soon as Yosef was gone, Yaakov thought, oh, I'm going to die, I'm going to hell because I've forgotten all my Torah. Looking at the face of Yosef was looking at the face of Avraham Avinu. So when Yaakov looked at Yosef, he remembered all the Torah that he'd learned with Avraham Avinu, and he was able to give it over to Yosef. On that day we came to Midbar Sinai, there was a revelation of the bris, meaning there was a revelation of the connections that we had with one another. And we weren't ready, the Zohar Kodesh says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, we weren't ready for the for Mount Sinai until we had come to Bayoim Hazeh, on this day, Vayichen Yisrael Neged Hoher. And we were all one together. And the Ishbitza says, after Matan Torah, we needed to be told something really important. Alehei Kesef, Loitase lecha. Don't make loitase iti. I've just lost my place here. Vayom Hashem Moshe, loisasun iti elehe kesef. Don't make gods of silver with me. Veelehe zohav and gods of gold, loisasu lochem. Don't make for yourselves. So Ishbitza says we needed to unlearn something that we had learned, which was the power of love and the power of fear. You see, it was so strong. What happened to us was so strong. God needed us to learn another lesson about God, which is that, yes, God betroths us to Him with these things. All these things, God says, your love for me, which is without logic, which is, you know, without rhyme or reason, will bring my love for you, v'oyhavim nedovai, will also be in that level of segula. But God says, but don't think that I am that love. I'm not. And the fear with which you treat this mitzvah and you turn this mitzvah into this huge thing where you put all your energies into it and this mitzvah becomes the focus of your life and becomes the way that you worship me, God says, it's wonderful. But don't think that I am that fear or that worship or that thing, that mitzvah. And Elehei Kesef, the Zohar Kodesh says, Leisason iti Elehei Kesef, don't make me gods of silver. So the Zohar Kodesh says, even though it says Li HaKesef Veli HaZohav, God says, to me belongs all the silver and to me belongs all the gold, Loitasun iti, don't make with me, the Zohar Kodesh says, it's as though it had written Loitasun oisi, don't make me. Don't make me a god of silver. Don't make me a god of love. I'm not a god of love. Ve'lohei zohav loisase lechem, and don't make yourselves into gods of fear. Meaning, God says, I've made a decree in the universe that if you love me, I will love you back. But not because I am love. And I've made a decree in the universe that if you fear me, I will give you this power of worship, of turning everything into an act of worship. But don't think that's because this is in me. It's not. I'm not love, and I'm not fear, and I'm not anything. And, you know, it's really important because sometimes we get carried away with the sheer wonder of loving God and worshiping God and, you know, like to say, make such a statement as God is love. God says it's really important to get past that. It's not true. Mizbach Adomo Tasali. You know, if you really want to get down, it's simple. Earth. What could be more simple? You have to, you know, keep stripping away. even though you have such deep feelings for me, God says, you have to strip it all away and throw it all away if you really want to understand. You know, you want to connect on a deeper level. You have to get past, you know, all the emotions. And even though, yes, there's a lot of compassion, and yes, there's a lot of this, and there's a lot of love, and it's not who I am, even though I've told you that these are important to me. Finally, the Torah says, "B'chol mokay ma'ase askir shmi," God says, every place where I mention my name, I will come and bless you. And the Ishbitzer says, why doesn't it say every place that you mention my name? Why does it say "b'chol mokay ma'ase askir," every place that I mention my name? And he says, because the word askir means from the word zach, to purify. God says, wherever I hear myself spoken about, I will come and I will listen to you, and I will really look inside you and see, do you really mean me? Ask here to me, I will come and make it like Shemen Zai Zach. The word Zach means pure. And I will keep on looking and looking and looking inside you, and if you really, really, really mean me, Ovo Yelechu Berachticha, I will come and bless you.